Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. Jesus Christ is addressing the church of Sardis. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version on this. And he says to the angel of the church in Sardis, write the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Verse 3, remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief. You will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments and will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I, Jesus Christ, will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, at the center of this portion of Scripture is a command. A very, very important command. And these are the words of Jesus, and he's talking to the church. And this command is found in verse 3. In the word, remember. Remember. The Lord Jesus Christ is commanding these Christians to remember. Remember. Call to your mind truth that has been stored in your memory. The word remember is in the command mood in the grammar. And also in the Greek grammar, it is a present active. It's a verb in the present active. These Christians were to always be remembering. That's what Jesus is saying. They were to repeat it over and over again. To constantly, as a habit, as a lifestyle, call out of their memory what Jesus says here, what you received and heard. What you received and heard. And it's the active voice, and the active voice means that was their responsibility. Anytime the active voice is used, it means that those who are being addressed, the subjects, are responsible for carrying out the action of the verb. What were they to be remembering? Jesus says, what you received and heard. Don't forget that. Is that something that we obey? Do we obey this command? Do we remember what we received and heard? I mean, this is so important for any church to remember. To remember. To remember what you have received and heard. And that is why we come to church. This is why we come to church. We come to church not to fall asleep. We come to church to be sharp, to be attentive, to be awakened to the realities of the Holy Bible. Awake to hear. When we remember what we have received, what we have heard in the church, it changes us. It is powerful. If we aren't changed by the Holy Bible, by the things that we have received and heard, if we're not changed by those things, I doubt that you are receiving or hearing them. But if we do, remember, it becomes powerful and Christ lives through us and we can handle all the trials and all the difficulties in life in righteousness. This takes effort to remember. The verb here means not something passively done, active voice. It takes effort. It's active. It's something that we have to do, each one of us. We have to purpose and plan to remember. And if you don't, and if I don't, we will forget. We will forget. If we come to church with something else on our mind, we will not be able to remember what we received and heard. We will be distracted. Forgetting is dangerous. It is so, so dangerous. It is a matter of life and death. In Judges 3:7, it says, "So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served Baals and Asherahs." Very, very important to remember. Forgetting is not an excuse. Kids often use this as an excuse to escape punishment. "Why did you do that? You know I told you not to do that." "I forgot. I forgot." Let me tell you, that is no excuse. No excuse. Name it for what it is. It is laziness. It is apathy toward commands. It should be punished in kids. When kids say, "I forgot," it needs to be punished. Because they need to remember. When mommy and daddy give a command, it should be remembered. And by the very fact that they're making excuses of forgetting it, they didn't care much for what you had to say. And let me tell you, when we stand before Jesus Christ in that day, and we say, "Sorry, Jesus, I forgot," do you think that Jesus Christ is going to let us off? I don't think so. Jeremiah 2:32 says, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire?" Could you imagine a bride forgetting her attire? That would be ludicrous. Be crazy. "Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." They've forgotten me. If we forget and do not remember what we have received and heard in the church of Jesus Christ, there is an ever-present danger of ending up neglecting the so great salvation that has been promised to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that so great salvation is in the coming age. And that's what the writer of Hebrews says. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Neglecting. That's what the writer here is warning us of. And that neglecting comes from what? Not remembering. And this will cost us greatly, because he says we shall not escape a just recompense of reward. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we should always ask, why is that therefore therefore. And that therefore looks back to verse 14 of chapter 1, where the writer's talking about inheriting salvation. He's talking about getting into the kingdom. Going into the kingdom. He's talking about salvation at the end of this age. He says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to, and that means strict attention, not forgetting, remembering. The basic Bible English says to give attention to those things. The English Standard Version says, pay much closer attention to what we have heard. The New Living Translation says, listen very carefully to the truth we have heard. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. What we have heard. Literally, remember those things that you have heard, lest we drift away. There's the danger. Drifting away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, meaning no one got away with it, how shall we Christians, under the gospel of Jesus Christ, escape what? Judgment. If we neglect so great a salvation, the word neglect means that we find something not so important. If you neglect something, you don't really pay much attention to it. You don't find it very important. What does it mean? It means you forget it. It means you don't remember it. Barnes, in his notes, says neglect is enough to ruin a man. Neglect is enough to ruin a man. He says, a man who is in business need not commit forgery or robbery to ruin himself. He has only to neglect his business, and his ruin is certain. Most of the calamities of life are caused by simple neglect. So true. We have to carefully attend to our salvation. Carefully attend to our salvation. It will not attend to itself. That's what the writer is saying here. How do we attend to our salvation? By remembering. By remembering, and that is the opposite of neglecting. We have to remember those things that we have heard. And let me just say this. We remember what we are interested in. Isn't that true? We remember things that we are zealous and passionate about. Right? I remember when I started dating my wife, I paid very close attention to the things that she liked and disliked. I put those things deep down in my memory. I remembered them. Why? Why did I do that? We neglect those things which do not interest us, and we remember things that we are zealous and passionate about. Right? If we're not interested in it, we likely will not remember it. If I'm not interested in something, I'm not going to remember it. Why would I exercise my faculties to memorize and put it into memory when I don't even care about it? When we're not interested in something, we don't care about something, we neglect it. We don't remember it. And we put it aside and we forget about it. The importance of retaining, the importance of remembering the Word of God and giving constant diligence, diligent attention to it. I mean, it cannot be overstated enough. We need to always be remembering what we have received and heard in the church. To not be diligent to forget it. Not a forgetful hearer in James 1:25. And James says that these are the ones that are blessed in whatever they do. Why? They are not forgetful hearers. Notice that obeying Christ's command here in Revelation to remember would keep these Christians in the church of Sardis from dying. It would keep them from dying spiritually, being overcome and defeated, to fall short of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. It would mean that if they kept that command to remember, that they would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. And then it says, remembering what they have received and heard, by doing that, and then it says, keeping it. Jesus says, keeping it. And by keeping it, it would incite them, it would move them to repent and waken up and be strengthened. And it would save them. What would it save them from in the context? The context is clear. Their names will not be blotted out from the book of life. Now, how can a name be blotted out from the book of life? It wasn't in the book of life to begin with. That is a strong warning. Revelation 3:5. To be blotted out of the book of life means that you lose the kingdom. It means that you perish and you will not have eternal life. If the church of Sardis would obey the command to remember, they would overcome. They would overcome and they would be worthy to walk with Jesus in white. And that means that they would have the first resurrection. And their names will not be blotted out. Their names would be confessed. So what Jesus is saying here in the book of Revelation to the church is that our memory is extremely important. Extremely. It will determine whether we are defeated or whether we are an overcomer at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus is commanding us to remember. Remember what you received and heard. I mean, you think about it. Jesus Christ is the one that created the human brain, the amazing ability to remember. Things that we learn, things that we come to know, are stored away in the memory so that when we need to use them, we can call them forth and put them before our eyes, before the conscious mind, and we can act on them. Amazing. Remembering them. To remember means to recollect, to call upon our memory, to recall, to call to mind something that we what? Already know. You cannot recall things that you have never received or heard. And that's why he says to the church at Sardis, remember the things that you received and heard. They already knew these things. Remember them now. Knowledge is so necessary to our memory. And that's why it's so important in Colossians 1:9 to be filled with the knowledge of His will. And that's why we go to church. We go to church to be filled with the knowledge of His will. That is why the main ministry of the church is to preach and teach the Word of God, to build people up in the most holy faith, to teach sound doctrine. Doctrine that can be remembered. Doctrine that can be stored away in memory and pulled out by what? Remembering. And then applied when we need it. What an amazing device, what amazing faculty that we have inside of us to remember. Amazing. No wonder David said in Psalm 139, verse 14, he says, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Oh, that's so true. They say that every human brain has about 100 billion neurons. What? 100 billion neurons. It's unbelievable. And each neuron has thousands and thousands of synapses. Oh, it's unbelievable. One writer said, if we could see one half of what is going on within us, we should not dare to move. We should not dare to move. Just one half of what is actually going on inside of this body. Oh, it's so true. Memory is a faculty that we must exercise. It's not automatic. We must work at it. We have to purpose to commit things that are important to our memory. Why? So we don't forget them. I don't know about you men, but my wife would come to me and many times and still does today. And she says, "Don't forget. Don't forget." And you know when they say it two or three times, you know, then you got to put some kind of note down. You got to hang a tassel from your ear or something. You got to have some kind of... You got to make sure that you remember that. Remember that. And there's many times where you know, I was just familiar and I just said, "Yeah, sure, honey, I'll remember that." And I don't. And why? Because it went into that filter, right? The filter and that filter of it, oh, it's not important. Oh, that's a terrible filter. But what an amazing faculty memory is. We have to purpose to put things in our memory. And that's why I think taking notes in church can be so useful. We write down the important points of a sermon, then we can go back over it later at a later time and do what? Put it into memory. Why? So we later can what? Remember it. Remember it. Especially when we need it. Now, I speak for 45 minutes to an hour, and it would take a very, very unusual person to remember everything I say up here in one sermon. Now, I'm sure it could be done, but for the average person to do that, it will take extreme, extreme practice and very rigorous discipline. That doesn't come easy unless you have a natural gift to just remember words. It's such a sad thing, though, when people start to lose their memory and they can't function. We see this over and over again as people get older. They get to a point where they actually need assisted living. Why? Because they can't remember. They can't remember where they put their keys. They can't remember whether they turned off the stove. They can't remember where they put their wallet. They can't remember who they gave the check to. So many things come into the life of an older person when they cannot remember. Let me just say this. If our brain is not healthy, then our memory will be affected. There's no doubt about it. Why is that? Why is if our brain is not healthy, why will our memory be affected? Very simple. Because the memory is dependent upon our physical brain. Just as your seeing is dependent upon what? Your eye. Can you see without an eye? You can't have a memory without a brain. So simple. There have been people that get knocked so hard in the head that they lose their memory. And they call it amnesia. And they cannot remember where they live. They cannot remember that they're married. They can't even look at pictures of when they were children and know that that was them. They forget everything. Our memory develops as the brain develops. I mean, no one here in this room today, I don't think so, unless you're unique and special. Can you, anyone in this room, remember any events when they were 1 to 3 years old? When you're 2 years old and 1 year old, you're remembering events? Okay, you're special, but I can't. Okay, you remember your mom changing you? Very good, you're amazing, because I can't. How many remember their mothers changing them? Okay. Why is that? And if you do remember something, it's some vague thing. You don't remember exact details. Why is that? Because memory takes time to develop as we grow physically in age. Because our brain is developing. It's developing. So please, these people that think that you can have a memory without a brain, they need a brain to think with. You can't have memory without a brain. You can't have an ear. You can't hear without an ear, right? According to the scriptures, the faculty of memory ceases to exist in the grave. The Bible says in Psalm 6:5, "For in death there is no remembrance of you." In the grave, who will give you thanks? Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "There is no work, our device, our knowledge, our wisdom in the grave." And he goes on to say, "Where you are going." Now, the Bible is very clear about the state of death. In death, in the grave, there is no physical, there is no mental activity. Why? Because we are dead. We're dead. And that includes our memory. All of the faculties of man, all of man is dead, non-existence. Nevertheless, if we are still alive and kicking, are you alive and kicking this morning? Good, I hope so. We need to remember. The things that we have received and heard, oh, let me tell you, they are vital. They are vital truths that will shape and influence your thinking. They guide us, they direct us, they check us, they restrain us, they motivate us, and they save us. Much of our spiritual life depends upon our memory. Truths that we have come to know, and then we remember it. Not forgetting it, then we obey it. This is how we obtain salvation. This is how we lay hold on eternal life. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15:1. "Moreover, brethren," Paul says, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." I'm reading from the King James. "Which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Notice this passage. Paul is writing to Christians. He addresses them as brethren. He's writing to a church at Corinth. And it says very clearly in verse 1 that he preached to them the gospel. Past tense. He preached to them the gospel. And they received it. Notice that, verse 1. They received it. And then in the present tense, it says, they're standing in it. That means they're enduring. That means they're being faithful to what they heard and was preached to them in the gospel. And they were continuing in what they received and heard from Paul. Then Paul says in verse 2, By which also, you are being saved. You are being saved. English Standard Version, New English Translation says being saved. We're going to do a series on salvation very shortly. But salvation is a process. It is not a one-time past event when a person prays a prayer. No. To believe and be baptized puts us in the race. It is a necessity to believe and be baptized. That is the beginning of salvation. But we have to continue. We have to continue. We have to be like Paul, and we have to finish the course. Salvation is like a race. Paul said, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Meaning that you had to believe at one point. That was the beginning. But now, he says, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed in Romans 13, 11. So salvation, as I have seen it so clearly, it is a process. It is a past, present, and future process. Very, very important. But notice the condition here that Paul lays down for salvation. What? Conditions for salvation? Absolutely. If there are no conditions for salvation, then everybody is unconditionally saved. Everybody out there, whether they believe or not or do anything, they're already saved. That's called universalism. Unconditionally saved, you don't have to do anything. God saves everybody. He loves everybody. They're all creatures of His. The children of the world, all His creatures. That's what they teach. Some teach. But here is a condition laid down by the Apostle Paul. He says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Oh my goodness. Salvation is conditional. It is conditioned on you and I keeping in our memory the Word of God. The Gospel. So important. Not forgetting it. I'm going to put this down. Salvation is never presented in the Scriptures as some kind of unconditional, absolute guarantee for the Christian. Do you see here what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, if these Christians and us do not keep in memory what he preached, he is saying, we will not be saved. Very clear. Very clear. And what does that mean? Well, the opposite, all through the Scriptures, the opposite of salvation is perishing. Okay? So he's saying, if you do not keep this in your memory, you're going to be in serious trouble. How important is our memory? So important. So, so important. To remember. To remember. To keep in memory. To keep in memory the things that were preached to you. The things that were preached to you. Oh, we should just hang on the edge of our seat when we hear the preaching of the Word of God. Keep it in your memory. It saves us. It keeps us from perishing. Paul was preaching the Word of God. He was preaching the Gospel. And that is the message that saves us. It is the power of God, Paul says in Romans 1:16. It is the power of God that leads to salvation. That's what Romans 1:16 says. Isoterion in the Greek language. It's a preposition before the word salvation. And that preposition means that it is the power of God leading to salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1:18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I mean, what I'm sharing today for those that are perishing, this is all foolishness. They're not going to remember a word I said. But unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then in verse 21, he says, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The foolishness of preaching. What does it do? It saves you when you believe it. You see this morning, as long as we remember the message that we already know, that was preached to us, the truths of the Word of God, then our faith is going to be stimulated. Our faith is going to be provoked to do what? Continue. Continue in the race. To endure all things. To finish the course. However, if we do not obey the exhortation, Paul says, we have believed in vain. We have believed in vain. What does that mean? That means that our initial belief, our faith, would fail to produce the intended results, which is to obtain salvation and enter into the kingdom. Peter put it in 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith. What is the end of your faith? The salvation of your souls. That's the goal of our faith. The goal of starting the race, being believing the gospel and being baptized. That's the start. And then we start living by faith, hearing the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, attending church. And then we start on the path, the race. The intention of that direction is to finish the course, to cross the finish line, to not quit no matter what is thrown at me. I keep going. And the only way to do that is to keep in memory what has been preached. Or else, whatever we did in the past, we have believed in vain. It will not have the results that it was intended for, and that is to receive the future salvation into the kingdom. We will fail to finish the race. And that is when our faith and our belief is in vain. Paul never said that these Corinthian Christians did not have faith, but the faith that they started out with would be absolutely in vain if they did not keep in memory what they had been taught. It would not give them the so great salvation. The so great salvation is the kingdom salvation. They would fall short of it. They would be the branch in Romans 11:32 that was broken off. A branch is connected. You can't break a branch off unless it's connected. There'll be branches that are broken off. Romans 11:21 says, "For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you, Christian, either." The natural branches were the Jews that were in covenant. And they rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were branches broken off. And Christians and Gentiles and Jews who had accepted the gospel were grafted in. But he says, don't think that you can't be broken off, just like the Jews that didn't believe. Oh, scriptures do not teach the one-time believe unconditionally guarantees that you're going to be in the future salvation no matter how you live after you believe. No, it doesn't teach that. Jesus never gave us that kind of a promise. Jesus never gave that promise to anyone. And if you can find that promise, after this sermon, you can find some promise where Jesus gives a person that all he has to do one time is to believe, one time, and then he can live the way he wants to the rest of his life, and one day he will stand and go into the kingdom. If you can find that promise anywhere, I'll be glad to look at that and discuss it with you. I haven't found it yet. You will enlighten me. Salvation is a promise. It is a hope. It has to do with being in covenant and not also being in covenant. That's so important, to be in covenant, but to remain in covenant, to not forget the covenant in Psalm 103, verse 18. To keep the covenant. That's the way it always has been with the nation of Israel, and it's the same with the church of Jesus Christ. Salvation has to do with a covenant. Entering into that covenant, yes, but remaining in that covenant. And how do we remain in that covenant? By being faithful, by continuing, by enduring. Turn to John 8:31. Here's a verse that just kind of does away with that one-time believe thing where we just believe one time and then we can live the way we want to and we'll still be with Jesus in the kingdom. John 8:31. He's talking to people that had believed on him in the past. He says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." You know the word believe there is a perfect tense in the Greek grammar. A perfect tense means that you have completed the action. It's done. You have completed. It's a perfect tense. They had believed in the past. It's a past tense, and it's a perfect tense. They had believed on him. Bang, we believe on you. But Jesus said to those Jews that had believed on him in the past, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." Oh, that's it right there. There you go. That is why we must remember. Remembering the truths that we have learned and been taught helps us to continue. It helps us to be true disciples. True disciples don't just believe one time. They live. They live what they believe. They don't take the one-time believe and think they're secure and they don't have to do anything else. No, that's not a disciple indeed. But a disciple indeed is someone who continues in the teachings of Jesus Christ. They put the Master's words into their memory. And they continue in His words. Oh, we must not forget what we have heard from the Word of God. It will be our downfall. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows us so well. He knows we have a tendency to get busy sometimes and the cares of life come upon us and we'll go through trials and tribulations and hard times and we begin to forget the things of God. And you know what? We can forget the things of God when all things are going well for us. Right? Everything is going well. And we begin to take those important truths that were preached to us that we had put in our memory, and we push them further into the background, somewhere inside there. We push them into the background, and we're overwhelmed by the temporal. And the Word of God, Jesus says, gets choked. Choked. And in Luke 8:13, Jesus says, "They believe for a while, but in a time of testing or temptation, they" what? "Fall away." They believe for what? A while. But when the testings and trials come, and they fall away. And then he said in Mark 4:17, "They endure only for a time, and they fall away." Endure what? Only for a time. And then they fall away. In closing this morning, Peter, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter, out of anybody, this man knew the importance of remembering. He's an example, actually, in the Bible of someone who remembers the words of Jesus just a little too late. Okay? Do you remember the scene when Jesus Christ is taken by the Roman authorities and Peter follows kind of far off, not with the Lord? "Oh, I'll be with you, Lord." He follows afar off. And then in Luke 22:61, it says the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Boy, I'm telling you, that must have been devastating for Peter. the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered. Then, you know what? I don't want that to happen to me when I'm standing before the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want the Lord to turn and look at me. And then all of a sudden I start to remember what was preached to me. It's too late. It's too late then. And it was too late here for Peter in example, because it says, then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. It was too late, Peter. You had done denied me. Peter knows the importance of remembering firsthand. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he writes to Christians things that they already know. Isn't that interesting? He's writing to them things that they already know. Why? Why is Peter, doesn't he have something better to do? Doesn't he have some new revelation to give to these Christians? He's writing to them the things that they already know. Why is he doing that? So that they would remember. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. I'm writing to you things you know. And be established in the present truth. Now, Peter just got done writing in verses 10 and 11 about giving diligence to make your election and calling sure, and how not to fall from the abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. This was the present truth that they already knew. And now Peter's writing the same thing to them. He's putting them in remembrance. And then in verse 13 he says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, the body, to stir you up, to arouse you, to awaken you by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will do everything I can that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. That was Peter's endeavor. Peter, just like Paul, knew the vital importance of bringing to our mind what we already know. Remembrance, truths brought to the forefront of our mind, to be stirred up to things that we already know that are important, things that we should be practicing. The word stir up means to be aroused, awakened. So, you know, we need to be quickened, aroused, the things that we already know. That's how we remember. To be familiar. To not be familiar with the exceeding great and precious promises that Peter talked about in 2 Peter 1:4 that will give us the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. Peter says, as long as I live, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm in this body and I'm with you Christians, I am going to make it my duty to put this as my priority. I'm putting you in remembrance, always. I will repeat these things over and over again. You're going to say, why are we hearing this again? I'm going to do it over and over again. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Why? Why? Good and holy things are worth repeating. Good and holy things are worth repeating. Stirring you up in remembrance to the present truth, putting it before your eyes, making sure that you do not forget it. Peter said, this is my endeavor. So why? After I die, all these things that I have told you will be in your remembrance. Paul wrote to the Philippian church in Philippians 3:1. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. I'm writing the same things to you again. Why is Paul writing the same things again? This is the same thing we heard last time. He goes on to say, it is a safeguard for you. It is a safeguard for you. I mean, repeating the same truths over and over again is a necessity in the church. I can't overemphasize the need for repetition. Why? Why is that? We so easily forget. We so easily forget. We're so easily distracted in one message and maybe not in another message. The elder's ministry to the church is to prod you. You know what the word prod means? Poke. Our ministry is to poke you. And how do we do that? We bring repetition, 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 the same things, and we keep poking, hoping that that stuff will be stored in your memory so you can remember it when you need it. Have you ever noticed how the scriptures repeat themselves? Some of the skeptics get all caught up in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels. They say, why do I have three gospels repeating the same thing? Why is Matthew saying the same thing Luke is saying, and Luke is saying the same thing Mark is saying? They're synoptic gospels. They keep repeating the same thing. Why is the book of Romans and the book of Galatians repeating the same things? Why is the book of Ephesians and Colossians repeating the same thing? Why is the book of Jude and 2 Peter repeating the same things? You compare those books. You'll find many of the same truths repeated over and over again. It's divine design. God knows that we need repetition. And Paul said it is a safeguard for you. Hearing things again and again and again will save you. It's what grounds you. It establishes you in the truth. So why? So we won't fall from our steadfastness. We won't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Matthew Henry says this in closing: it is good for us often to hear the same truth, to revive the remembrance and strengthen the impression of things of importance. It is a wanton curiosity to desire always to hear something new. A large part of the teaching ministry of the church, I would say over 80% of it, even possibly more, I never sat down and thought about it. But a large part of the ministry of the church is to stir Christians up in what they already know. That's what preaching does, and incites you to practice what you already know, to bring into remembrance the things that you know, to establish you in the present truth. Why? Because we're prone to forget. And if we forget, we will not be applying the truth the way we should. Truth has a way. It's a unique thing. It leaks. You know that? Truth leaks. Cell phone numbers and addresses, they stay in our memory, but for some reason, the truth of the Word of God, sometimes it begins to leak out of our memory. You know, it's interesting. Peter and Paul, in these verses that I shared with you, they're dealing with false teachers. Dealing with false teachers, that's the context. Paul says, repetition of the truth that you know is your safeguard. It is your protection. It's your protection. And Peter is talking about false teachers that prey upon those that are not grounded in the truth. Let us remember this morning what we have received and heard. Let us keep in memory those things that were preached to you. The Word of God. This morning, I stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Let's pray.